Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. And now, Marcia Pilgrim continues the story of Office Wife.
When I saw Harry Palmer at the hospital yesterday, he just mentioned in passing that even after he was discharged, he'd still have one arm in a plaster cast, and it was going to be terribly difficult for him to manage by himself at his flat. And then when he said that Jeff and Stella were probably having a good old chuckle up their sleeves at me, I suddenly thought, why not? Why shouldn't my aunt and I have Harry with us at home until he's completely recovered again? Jeff and Stella are running about together as free as air. And if they think they're scoring off me, they'll think twice when they see Harry Palmer under our roof. Jeff will anyway. And it's perfectly proper. But there's still the problem of telling Aunt Harriet about it. And somehow I don't think we're going to see eye to eye. Lunchtime might be the best to broach the subject.
Pass the salad, please, Marcia.
Mm-hmm. There we are.
What's cook put in it? This isn't onion, is it?
It's a leek. Good for us. Did I tell you I called at the hospital last night to see Harry Palmer?
No, you didn't.
He's making a marvellously crap recovery. He's still pretty pale and weak and all that, but taken all round, I think he's bearing up wonderfully.
Why shouldn't he? He's only himself to blame. Young men insist on driving like madmen. They must expect to pay for it. By the way, what was that tenant creature doing in his car?
Angela. Oh, he ran into her quite by chance when he was driving her home.
Must have been extremely anxious to get rid of her. Tearing through the suburbs at 70 miles an hour.
Oh, poor old Harry. Whatever he's done, he's certainly paying for. I can't help wondering how he's going to get along when he leaves the hospital.
He won't be on crutches or anything, will he?
No. It'll be jolly hard for him to look after himself. He won't be able to tie his ties or anything, or make his bed.
Hasn't he any sisters or relatives who can stay with him for a few days?
Not that I know of. He has a married cousin, but she lives in the West.
Well, quite frankly, Marcia, I absolutely refuse to shed any tears over the fellow.
What on earth has he ever done to make you sound like that?
What are you looking for?
The mustard.
Is that your elbow?
Oh. I said, what's he ever done to make you sound...
Yes, yes, I know. But we can't be expected to look after every Tom, Dick and Harry who gets himself knocked about in a motor car accident.
Well, he's not just anyone. He's one of the top men in our firm, and he's very valuable to us. He's been wonderfully good and kind since all the trouble over Jeff started.
Well, Marcia, what can we do? If he's short of money, you can give him an advance on his salary, I suppose. But surely an able young man's not crippled just because his left arm's in plaster.
Well, I shouldn't like it to be mine.
Well, in that case, why doesn't he get someone to call at his flat every morning while he's at work and tidy up for him?
I thought, why don't we ask him here for a month or so?
What? Here? To this house?
Why not? It's not as though he were a stranger to us.
Bless my heart and soul, Marcia. Isn't it enough to... No, 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 I won't hear of it.
Well, really, Aunt Harriet, I think you're being quite hard-hearted. It's not like you a bit.
I think I'm being perfectly reasonable.
Now, darling, you're not, you know. Now, I don't expect you to feel the way I do about Harry, but at
How
least...
do you feel?
As though it's our duty to look after him to some extent. Of course, I could go to his flat every day and cook for him in the evenings and look after him there, but with the divorce petition, well, it wouldn't look too good, would it?
Marcia, I forbid you to spend your time in that man's flat.
But we have to do something for him, don't you see?
All I can see is that I've been maneuvered into the position of giving way to you.
Then we can have him here?
I suppose so. I can see what'll happen if we don't. But you needn't expect me to be over cordial to the fellow, and he won't be able to stay here forever either.
Oh, you're a dear. I knew you wouldn't really say
that. No, you don't have to make a lot of fuss, Marcia. I know how you go about getting your own way. Tell me something. When's Jeff to hear about this?
Jeff? Why on earth should I tell Jeff about it?
It's being done especially for his benefit, isn't it?
Well, I haven't the faintest idea what you mean.
It's all right. You know, I'm terribly fond of you, but you can't pull the wool over my eyes on that account. Now, come along. You eat your lunch. Oh, what has cook done to this rhubarb? I've told her 20 times not to put in so much sugar.
Yes. Yes, very well, Major Green. No, Mr. Puller won't be back till the end of the week, but you can leave it to me just the same. Goodbye, Major. Yes. Now, where were we, Jeff?
Angela Tennant.
Uh-huh. What was the idea of pouncing on her at 11:30 in the morning?
People like Angela are at their best after about 10 drinks, and at their worst before they get started. I thought she might just drop something.
But she didn't.
No. When I mentioned Palmer being connected with poor old Tressida Bendigo dying, she went as white as a sheet.
Oh, the dickens of a long way that gets us.
I'm not so sure. What Angela found out, if anything, we should be able to find out too.
How?
Benny Puller's still paying out the Hooper, isn't he?
Will he take orders from you?
He'd better, while I'm Benny's right-hand man.
You know, Jeff, I've been wondering about friend Hooper. Do you think he's to be trusted?
It's funny you should say that. I've been wondering exactly the same thing. When he came back from searching Palmer's flat, there was something that didn't ring quite true.
Well, Benny's apparently satisfied about him.
When Benny gets back from this trip, I'm going to have a word in his ear. In the meantime, Hooper had better have some work to do. Who was Professor Domenico's doctor, do you remember?
Somebody Mackendoe, if I remember. Neptune Chambers.
Oh. Just make sure of that and then send Hooper around to have a word with him. Would you ask the girl to see if she can pick him up?
Mm-hmm, right away. When are you seeing Marcia again? Didn't Miss Bendigo want you to see her urgently?
Tonight.
See me afterwards?
If I'm not too late.
Try not to be. There's a chum.
It's a date. I'll take you somewhere for quiet music and a late supper. Now, come on, get cracking. What's Hooper's number?
Harriet Bendigo speaking.
It's Jeff here, Miss Bendigo. Is Marcy here?
No, she's at the hospital. Are you coming round this evening?
That was the general idea, but I suppose it'll have to wait.
Why don't you come round anyway? She never stays late, and you'll be able to have a long, serious talk with her.
Well, all right. That's if you still think it'll do any good. Are you there? Miss Bendigo?
Yes, I'm still here, Jeff. I'd like you to come round anyway. I'd like to talk to you, whatever the outcome with Marcia.
Very well, then. What about 20 minutes? Would that be too early?
No, I'll expect you then. Goodbye, Jeff. I don't know what's going to happen when Jeff hears about Palmer, really. I don't.
Harry, you're all settled. You're coming to stay with us the moment they let you out of the hospital.
Really, Marcy, I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything.
Does Jeff know?
Not yet.
Oh, how did your Aunt Harriet take the idea?
Oh, she was delighted. But when you're with us, don't take any notice if she's a bit gruff at times. That's just her manner.
All I can say is it's wonderfully kind of you both. I don't know what I've done to deserve it, really, I don't.
Oh, that's all right. Now, Harry, you've got everything you want, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've got everything. Hey, if you're not going, well, look at the time. There's another hour for visitors yet, and one thing I do need is company.
Oh. Do you really want me to stay?
Well, if I could, I'd keep you here by force.
All right, then, for a while.
Well, tell me more about Percy Fleming. It's going to be rather difficult getting him out of that chair he's had for 20 years or something. So, I wonder if we could make it easier.
Marcy has never stayed at the hospital as late as this before, Jeff. Perhaps she's gone on somewhere else.
No, it's my own fault. I should have rung her during the day. On the phone, you didn't sound too definite about this idea of me talking to Marcia, coming to anything.
Well, you know Marcia. She's headstrong, and she resents that Miss Bronson of yours so bitterly.
Not of mine. Just Miss Bronson.
Well, Marcia thinks she's yours, and that's all that seems to matter with her.
She's not up to anything new, is she? Besides putting Palmer in as her general manager, I mean.
Jeff, I wish you'd wait and talk it over with Marcia herself. Now, don't mind telling you, for two pins I'd withdraw from the whole affair and let Marcia work out her own salvation.
Yes, it's the very deuce of a temptation to do just that myself. She spends a good deal of time at the hospital, does she?
She calls almost every day.
I don't know. Maybe Stella's right. Maybe I'm a blithering fool to waste a moment on her. Miss Bendigo, I don't think I'll wait any longer. Marcia might be ours.
Oh, dear me, I did so want you to hear about it tonight.
Hear about what? You have something on your mind. I wish you'd tell me.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I really am sorry.
It seems that I come up against a stone wall, whatever I do in this business, Miss Bendigo, even with you. I'm sick and tired of being fooled about. I don't think there's an ounce of sense hanging about for Marcia. I'm meeting Stella, and I've no intention of keeping her wedding, not for Marcia or anybody else. She at least makes sense. So good night, Miss Bendigo.
Dear me, now Jeff's cross with me. And I wasn't going to tell him. His wife's bringing Harry Palmer here to our house to live. That's up to Marcia herself. And all I can say is, heaven help her when she does.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.